I just want to say welcome to everybody that came out to God's miracle service. You know, when you come to a miracle service, you have to be expecting to receive a miracle. You have to have your spirit man open wide to receive whatever it is you have need of. You can't expect God to come and smack you on the head and say, would you like a miracle tonight? Anything God does for you is a miracle, no matter how small, no matter how large. It is a miracle. I want each one of you tonight, right now, just open up your spirit man to receive the miracles that God wants to give you. I really wouldn't ask him for anything, because he knows what miracle you have need of. He just wants you to open up your spirit man so he can give you that miracle. I really don't know what God is planning on doing here tonight. I know he's very quiet in my spirit. It's been very quiet all day. But I do know one thing. I'm hearing him say he wants to land deeply within each one of your hearts. He just wants your heart to be open wide to receive everything that he has for you. The enemy has absolutely no place within your life. So don't give him place. Make him stay outside of your vessel and don't let him come in. You have authority over your vessel. He does not have authority over your vessel. You do. Tonight, God wants me to teach you on whose report are you going to believe. Let's go to Numbers 13:17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good cheer and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Awesome how God does everything in 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Listen to this story very carefully. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. See, nevertheless. That's a key word. The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. See, all the ites are the little things that you have to deal with. They are demonic forces that tell you that they are greater than God. Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of the Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so were we in their sight. God told them the land was theirs. And Moses said, go spy it out and see what's going on over there. 10 spies said we can't do it, and 2 says we can. You have prayed to God for your son who has been diagnosed with cancer, and God has told you that he would be all right. But the doctors have told you he has only 6 more months to live. Whose report will you believe, the doctor's report or God? You know, apply that to yourself. What has God told you is going to happen, but another report said it isn't going to happen? Whose report will you believe, your friend's report or God? In our scripture tonight, we find 10 men giving a negative report and 2 men giving a positive report, and the majority prevailed. You might be the only one saved in your family, and God is talking an abundance of things to you. And you're telling your family what God wants to do, and they're all negative. No, God can't do that. God can't do that. Now, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what God spoke to you, or are you going to believe what your family is saying God can't do? So each one of you in here tonight, you have to determine whose report are you going to believe. Are you going to believe your flesh that's telling you that you'll never be free? Or are you going to believe God's report that says you are free? 12 men were commissioned from each tribe of the children of Israel to go and search out the land of Canaan and to bring back a report. Numbers 13:25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So in Exodus 3, this is before they went to spy out the land. In Exodus 3, verse 8, God had made a promise to the children of Israel while they were in bondage in Egypt. Now, if you know the story about the children of Israel, they were in bondage and God gave them a promise. This is it. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaan, all the Hittites, all right? You see, God already told them back in Exodus what he was going to do for them. But whenever they came to that land, 10 said we can't do it and 2 said we can. The children of Israel were delivered from Egypt and the time has come for the fulfillment of God's promise. Some of you, all of you in here tonight, you have been delivered from the enemy. And now is the fulfillment of God's promise to you. Now you can either receive that tonight or you can reject it. You can either go on looking at the ites in your life, or you can believe God's promises in your life. It's totally up to you. God's not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. All right? The children of Israel were delivered from Egypt, and the time has come for the fulfillment of God's promise. The spies have gone into the land of Canaan, and they are now back to give the report. In Numbers 13:27. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Now let's just stop there. We went and had a deliverance. But this is really what's happening to me. Are you listening? So then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, there's that word. The people who dwell in the land are strong. You're saying the devil's stronger than God if you have a deliverance and you don't feel delivered. The cities are fortified and very large. You're saying hell has more power than God does. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites, well, okay, we talk all about the ites again. Then nevertheless, when they said nevertheless, wait a minute. We do the very same thing. We get the buts. So Moses, the land is good, but. Moses, the land is truly flowing with milk and honey, but. The land would be a great place to inhabit, but. We need to understand that we cannot reach our full potential if every time we try to go forward, there is a but in our life. God's told me to, he's a teacher on whose report are you going to believe. So are you full of buts? You have to answer that question yourself in your spirit, man. Where are you at? These 10 spies were saying, as we searched the land for 40 days, we came to realize that there are giants in the land. There's always going to be giants in your life. Come on. Always. Moses, things look so bad that in the sight of the sons of Anak, we were like grasshoppers. Do you think the enemy is going to make you think you're a giant? Get out of here. He's going to make you think he's the giant and you're the little grasshopper. He's going to try to make you believe that he has the power and you have nothing. You have no power, no authority. That's a lie. Moses, there are giants in the land. And people get delivered. I don't know why I'm on this deliverance thing. But anyhow, people get delivered say, but you just don't understand how strong they are. Yeah, we do. You just don't understand how strong your God is. You don't understand that God is greater than any demon that came to dwell within your vessel. And you don't understand that they have to depart. They cannot stay there. I keep hearing fragments. I don't care if it takes you a year to get set free. They have to leave. It took a long time for them to get in there and see what you're carrying around is generational curses. And so you have all them generational junk that you knew nothing about and you were born with it. And then the thing, you have that to begin with. Then you picked up all that junk along the way. It's not going to disappear in 1 second. Come on. It can. You can believe for a miracle tonight. And you can believe for God to rip them out because God said he would do that. And I know people who's done that too. So, but you can get free in an instant if you can receive the miracle God wants to do in your life. But if you still want to entertain that stuff just so you can act stupid, well then, it's your fault, not God's. All right? What caused these 10 men to bring back a negative report? They surely must have known of the promises of God. They did. They were with the children in Egypt, were they not? But they must have forgotten or just did not believe. What did y'all do? Forget or just don't believe? You know? Come on. When they arrived on the land, they found it just as God said, flowing with milk and honey. But they still did not believe. You can see miracle after miracle after miracle in your life, and you can still walk around not believing. You can still walk around in doubt and unbelief, and that has got to change in the body of Christ. God told me years ago, the church is just like the Israelite children. That's why I started studying it a while back. And I said, well, they were pretty dumb. That's why I say the church is dumb. Because God promises you all these wonderful things, and we say, there's too many giants in the land. The devil's stronger than you are, is what you're saying. You and then God is. And that's not true. These 10 men had lost faith in the promises of God. Whatever you do, saints, don't lose faith in the promises of God. Please don't do that. You might get knocked down, but you're going to get back up again and just keep on going. Because if God spoke it, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter how much the enemy is bombarding you. It is going to happen. And not when you die either. It's going to happen while you're still living. Because you cannot do a work if you're walking in doubt and unbelief for the Lord. You can't do that. God wants you to stand in total faith, in no doubting, no unbelieving, and he wants to be able to use you for his kingdom. Come on. How come you yielded yourself so completely over to the devil? But you won't yield yourself that completely to God. I don't understand this transaction here. I really don't. I want you to really think about this. How come you were so willing to die with the devil, but you're not willing to live with Christ? What is in you that's making you do this? You have to ask yourself, what about me is making me do this thing? Why do I want to die? Why can't I believe God? Amen. All right, these 10 men had lost faith in the promise of God, and they were paralyzed with fear. And see, isn't that what happens in the body of Christ? Fear is the biggest demonic spirit in the body of Christ that there is. People are always saying, well, I fear this and I fear that and I can't do this and I can't do that. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. And fear is not an option. It is not an option. In their fear, they fell into the trap of thinking that it all depended on them. See, this is what the trap is still today. We still think it depends on us. And they failed to rely on God. Instead of believing God, they looked at themselves and said, we can't do this. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Everybody in here, you said you can't do this. Yes, you can. You don't want to. You don't have the stamina for the fight that it's going to take to win. But you act like you're all big, bad, and indifferent. But when the fight really starts, that's when it really shows what kind of person you are, because you quit. You quit on God. And how many times does God say, don't quit. Keep going. I'm with you. What if Jesus would have quit before he went to the cross? We wouldn't have to worry about going to heaven. We'd all go to hell. There's the reason why Jesus died on the cross, so we could have a chance to go to heaven. He didn't quit, even though in the Garden of Gethsemane he wanted to. He said, take this cup from me. And finally he said, not my will, but your will be done. How many of you sitting here tonight, there's times you wanted to quit, but finally you got your senses together and you said, after you ran in and raving for 5, 10 minutes or 2 hours or something like that, then you say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Then a perfect peace comes over you and you just go ahead and let God do what he has to do. And you go ahead and give in to God and go through whatever you have to go through. And, sometimes you think, God, I'm not as strong as you think I am. But, oh, yes, you are. God would never make you go through something that you're not strong enough to finish. He would not. So don't tell me he does, because he doesn't. Come on. In that group of 12 men were two men, Caleb and Joshua. They had traveled the same road. They had walked the same path. They had seen the same things, the land flowing with milk and honey, and the giants in the land, but they saw things differently. So you have to see things differently than what the world sees them. Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb was saying to Moses, yes, there are giants in the land, but we are not afraid. So let's go at once and possess the land. So he said, we're not afraid. The others were full of fear. Moses, there is no time to wait around. Let's go now. Somehow Caleb and Joshua knew that if God made a promise, he will keep his promise and victory is guaranteed. Somehow. He just knew that he knew that he knew in the very, very pit of his heart that God was able to do whatever he promised him he could do. And he was ready to go, ready to conquer, ready to bust open, wide open, whatever had to be busted wide open. If he had to kill the giants, he's going to kill the giants, but he wanted to go. Caleb and Joshua knew about the God whom they serve. But so often we forget as to who God really is. Amen. If you're sleepy right now, I would say the enemy has your eyelids in his hands. And I would tell the enemy to get out of my eyes, out of my will, out of my emotions, out of my thought life. Caleb and Joshua knew about the God whom they serve, but so often we forget as to who God really is. We must never forget that we serve a God who is all powerful, a God who can do anything that he wants to do. Your child died. There was a reason why God let that child die. So you were rejected. There was a reason why you were rejected. God works everything out for his good, your good and his glory. There's a reason for everything that happens in your life. It's always really to make you stronger, to give you character and integrity so you can be the vessel of honor that God wants you to be. So quit complaining about the things that happened in your life. And sometimes you were just plain old dumb and got into things you shouldn't have got into. God had nothing to do with that. So don't blame that on God. That was you doing your thing. But God is able to bring you out of that. He's able to deliver you from the junk that you got into. So instead of you being upset with God, why don't you say, thank you, God, that you didn't let me die in that mess and go to hell. Thank you, God, that you're all-powerful and all-seeing and all-knowing, and that you send me places I need to go so I can be set free. Put me in places that you know that I'll be taught the truth. And the truth, the Word of God said, the truth will set me free. Quit complaining and kicking against the pricks, and quit telling him how much you hate him and telling everybody else how angry you are at God. You have no reason to be angry with God. I'm telling you right now, you don't. You really don't. Why don't you get angry at the devil? He's the one who pulled you into this pit. God didn't. I really believe the way God works with me, I know he's sent her to say, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. But you know, our little flesh said, yes, I will, yes, I will, yes, I will. I just have to dabble just a little bit. Well, that little bit of dabbling got you messed up, didn't it? And see, the problem is, I've told this to some, but some of you have never heard this. When I was first born again, I went to a prayer meeting that night, and I had never heard God's voice before, and I heard a voice say, go over there to that man in the corner, and you tell him Satan paints pretty pictures for you to look at, but he never shows you what's behind the scene. So I remember the man, I told him, and he cried like a baby, and later on, I really got to know him really well. And this is what Satan been doing all his life, painting him pictures, getting him deep into sin, but never showing him where the sin was going to take him. And he does the very same thing today. He does not change his tactics. He's always painting pretty pictures for you to look at, pretty songs for you to sing. And I'm talking about demonic things now. And you don't understand how those lyrics are getting into your spirit and messing your whole man up. Same devil. He doesn't change. He just throws out bigger demons to fight you. Same tactics. And guess what? He gets to church every time. I don't know where I'm at, Nancy. We serve a God who made this world out of nothing by just saying, let there be. Genesis shows you all God says, let there be. And he created the whole earth. If he can just say three words and the earth is created, I would say he was pretty powerful. And believe it or not, he also created Lucifer. And seeing Lucifer in heaven, he wanted to be God. And he talked a third of the angels to go with him. You know, everybody goes into sin. They have to pull people with them. And he tried to be God. And guess what? God had kicked him out of heaven. They get out of here. Right? So what kind of a person are you serving? He's weak. He's disabled. He has no power, no authority. And what he's doing with you is he's trying to get back to God. He's trying to get back at God because God kicked him out of heaven. He's trying to get back at God because he could not be God. He was the song leader in heaven. Why do you think he perverts songs? Because he was a song leader. He knows what music is all about. And he knows what music can do. Come on, guys. These two men who believed God had not forgotten that only 2 years ago they were slaves in Egypt. They had not forgotten how God by his mighty hand had divided the Red Sea. They had not forgotten where God had brought them from. Too many times we forget from whence God brought us. The Word of God says, never forget from whence you came. And that's why we go around judging others. And you watch judging other people because, you know, you could go back into the same thing you got out of. God said, judge not lest ye be judged. You want to judge, God will judge you too, and he'll judge you harshly. See, by his grace, he pulled you out of the sins you were in. It was by his grace. And he didn't judge you. He pulled you out of those sins. He cleaned you up, and he brought you forth. Whose report are you going to believe, the devil's or God's? God said, I want you free. I want you liberated. I don't want you to be held captive anymore. I love you. Satan says, I hate you. I hate the God in you. And I'm trying to kill you so I can take you to hell so I can torment you more than anybody else. Whose report are you going to believe? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do with your life? When Joshua and Caleb saw the land, when they remembered the mighty power of God, when they realized who they were serving, they were able to say with the assurance, it is time for the people of God to start speaking out with confidence and start believing God. If we don't start speaking out with confidence, start believing God and stop allowing the enemy to come in at every turn and wreak havoc in God's, you know, in your temple, you're not going to get where you should go with God. You might end up in hell even. Don't think, well, when I'm dying, I can repent. No, you can't. You just don't know. You know, you just don't know if you're going to have a chance for a deathbed repentance. You don't know. So you need to get it right and keep it right. You need to get it together. And you can get it together. If you got it apart, why can't you get it together, right? Come on. It was you that got it all apart. It was you that tore yourself apart. It wasn't some other friend. It was you. You did it yourself. So let's not blame anybody else. That's why, you know, people are going to say, well, you know what my mother and father did, you know. That's not going to stand in front of God. He's not going to listen to that. He's not. Well, you don't understand how bad my husband is. That's not going to work either. It's you're working out your salvation. It's you that's going to stand before God on Judgment Day. You alone. Nobody else is going to be with you. Brother Brett has a testimony about that. It's a powerful testimony. Come on up and give that little part, please. They need to hear this. I didn't know God was going to do this way, but this is fine with me.
Yeah, I had a vision a couple years ago where in this vision I was in a white courtroom, and it was so bright I couldn't even see the judge. I knew it was God, and in front of me was a long line of people that went all the way to the left as far as the horizon could possibly go. And these people were every single person in my life that I had ever encountered or had any kind of dealing with. And that one person would step forward, and absolutely everything in my life that I thought, felt, said, or did to or about that person, in front of them or behind their back, was totally brought out into the light. I mean, absolutely everything. And they were able to see all that stuff and react to it in front of me. So it was quite humiliating and embarrassing. And when that was done, from my birth to my death, when that person was done, the next one would come in line and the same thing would happen. And it was this horribly long process of being judged, having everything brought to the light. So the lesson I gleaned from that is everything said and done, whether in secret or, you know, any ulterior motives, is brought to the light. And everybody's going to know what you were really thinking that day. And that's a scary thought, but all things done in darkness are brought to the light. And that's what that judgment scene was expressing. That's the meaning behind it. So that was very sobering. When I woke up from that vision, I was absolutely mortified and humiliated. I had that feeling in me. It took a few hours to get over that. But that was powerful. That was real. That was God.
So, do you want that to happen to you? I wouldn't. God said everything that's done in the dark, He's going to bring to the light. He's going to do that right now. I read an article yesterday where it said this revival that God's doing right now, it's to bring every darkness that's down inside of you up to the surface so everybody can see it. Why are so many deliverances occurring here during this revival? God's bringing the darkness up. So are you going to allow God to rip the darkness out of you, or are you going to just push it back down again? Totally up to you. God can't take a defiled temple into heaven. Your temple has to be washed, purified, holy. Go back up there where I said when Joshua and Caleb saw the land. When Joshua and Caleb saw the land, when they remembered the mighty power of God, when they realized who they were serving, they were able to say with assurance, we can take the land. When they remembered, And they realized. They said, we can take the land. It's time the body of Christ remembers who God is and what God is and what he's done for you. And then with assurance say, we can take the land. Devil, I'm taking back my pea field. You're not going to take my land any longer. This is my vessel and you're not going to dwell in my vessel. You're not going to use my vessel to act out your filthy things. My vessel is clean and purged before the Father. I'm purified. And I'm not going to allow anything dark to abide with inside. See, you have to take that stance. You have to do that. A deliverance minister does all they can do. God does all they can do. Then you have to do your part. You have to keep yourself clean and pure. You have to work on this thought life that gets messed up. And you have to cleanse it with the blood of Jesus. You have to smack yourself up alongside head and say, stop thinking those things. I'm not that person anymore. I'm a child of God, and a child of God doesn't think that way. Are you listening? It is time for God's people to realize that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We sing it, but do we really believe it? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It is time for us to realize, and who is the he in the world? It's the devil, right? Who's in you? Jesus, right? It is time for God's people to realize that, it is time for us to realize that no weapon formed against God's people shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17 tells you that. No weapon. Doesn't mean every other weapon. No weapon that Satan throws at you can prosper if you refuse to accept it. You're going to have to refuse to accept it. You're going to have to say, wrap yourself in a blanket of blood every morning and then say, everything you throw at me, Satan, cannot come through this blanket of blood that's wrapped around me. I'm safe because I've secured myself in the blood of Jesus. God told me a couple years ago, daughter, never forget the blood. It covers, it protects, it seals. I'm not afraid because I'm resting on the promises of God and I'm comforted by the word of God. I'm not afraid of anything the enemy throws at me. Because I know that my God is able to bring me through. He's able to bring me through. David writes in Psalm 27:1, the Lord, not man, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I not be afraid? We have nothing to fear if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You have nothing to fear if you're walking in God's promises in his word. When David saw Goliath, he saw a giant that would stumble and fall. All the other men in the army saw somebody was going to kill them, didn't they? But when little old boy David saw that giant, all he saw was a giant that would stumble and fall. He saw a giant that would be defeated. When we see a giant, we say, oh, no. And you run for cover. Or you compromise. David wouldn't even wear the armor of a warrior. He said, it's just too cumbersome. I'm just going to go out my little, whatever they called them, little things, them underwear things they wore. And I'm going to take my slingshot and I'm going to slay that giant for God. So why don't you say, I'm going to slay the giants of my soul for God. I'm going to keep this vessel cleansed of all impurity. I'm going to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. And the enemy can just go and harass somebody else. This same David writes in Psalm 27:2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come up to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. You know, David says, nobody could touch me. And read about David. Nobody could touch him. Because he served God with all of his heart. You see, you can't serve God half-heartedly. You have to do it with all of your heart. You can't pretend to be God's child and then still dabble in the things of the world. You can't do that. You have to be God's 100%. 100%. We do not have to be afraid because we have God on our side. See, the reason why some of you are still sitting here like you're in a daze is because you don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry to say to you that if you would only believe, God is on your side whether you believe it or not. The Holy Spirit is around about you whether you believe it or not. Now, if you're going to sin, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to push himself on you, and he's going to walk away. But they're there. And Jesus Christ lives richly with inside of you. So don't tell me you have a reason to still sin. You don't. You don't. We do not have to be afraid because we have God on our side. As we strive to live for the Lord, as we strive to glorify God in the things that we do, you know, see what I'm saying? As we strive to be at our very best for the Lord, we too will receive conflicting reports. You mean to tell me that the devil left you? That's not true. They can't take devils out of you. Yes, we can. Anybody can. It says in the Word, any believer can do that. You don't have 20, you have to have 20 years experience. Any believer can do that. The question is, when you are given two conflicting reports, whose report will you believe? You know, you might have left home one way, then you're going to go back home another way, and somebody say, ha, just see how long this lasts. And if you don't have God dwelling in your mind richly, you're going to cave in to that those things are saying about you. You're still the same person that left here. You're the same person that walked through the church when they started deliverance, and when you left, you're not changed. Well, tell them to go jump in the creek. Amen. It is time for us to be like Joshua and Caleb, go forth and possess the land. And you know what you're possessing, the land I'm talking about, is your body, your temple. Possess it. Get it back from the devil. He has no authority to take your body. He has no authority to take your mind, your will, or your emotions. He has none. He does that because you give him permission. You allow him to do these things. I'm fighting him with everything in me. Well, there's something in you still not fighting. I'm serious. I've been down this road too, guys. Come on. A little bit of doubt and unbelief is still lingering there somewhere. A little bit of pride. You know, a little bit of self that you can do it yourself. Whatever it is, it's still lingering in there, and that's why you're not getting the total victory. Well, you just don't know how hard I'm fighting. Yeah, I do. Because God tells me how hard you're fighting. I've been watching a person just battling sin like crazy. And the only thing that keeps me going is because I heard God give them a prophetic word one time. It says, nobody, absolutely nobody knows how hard you're fighting to be set free except me. And that was God. That's the only thing that makes me know that God is still in control. And those words are spoken through me to this person. So every now and then when I get a little bit, God reminds me of what he used me to speak to that person. I don't know what's going on down inside of you. I mean, you all have put your faces on so that I can see what you want me to see. But I really don't know how you're battling down inside. I don't know what you're going through. Because most of you don't want me to see what you're going through, so you hide it. I tell all about myself, you know that. I'm just me. I'm here. You know everything I go through. And really, truly, I said, God, why do you do that? And he said, so they see that you battle too. I'm no different than you. I just happen to be the one God called to open up this church. That's all the difference there is between me and you. Amen. All right, so I said, it is time. Is that right? Well, yeah, I know where I'm at. It is time for us to be like Joshua and Caleb, go forth and possess the land. Over 3,000 years ago, the people of God were faced with a choice of two reports. 10 men saw the land. 10 men realized the promises of God were true, but these 10 men did not believe God and so brought a bad report. 2 men saw the land. 2 men believed the promises of God, and they brought a good report. Tonight, God is looking for some Calebs and Joshuas who will truly believe. I don't care where you're at in your walk with God. God is looking for Calebs and Joshuas who will truly believe God's report. We need to have the faith like Caleb and Joshua and believe God even when we are outnumbered. In other words, if you're living in a house of 50 people and you're the only one saved, you're outnumbered. But you have to believe God's report that He is with you and He's going to clear the land. Come on. You know, you could be sitting in a church and you're the only one who's truly saved. That's a fact. But that doesn't mean that it has to affect you. I've sat in a few churches that I was the only one saved in. After I was there a while, I found out, hey, these guys aren't following God. They have different agendas. They're just coming to church. So that's why I say, you know, if you're the only one, it didn't affect me any, though. I wasn't going to go back. I wasn't going to go eat their leeks and their garlics. I was going to stay where I was with Christ and keep on growing. God told me one time, I'm going to tell you this. He said, when you're dealing with somebody that's in sin, never go, never let them take you to their level. You stay, you bring them to your level, and you step there and bring them up there to where you're at. Well, let's just have a little snort while we're talking. You don't take a snort. No, you're a child of God. You say, I don't want to snort. That could be a blunt. That could be a drugs, or a drinking, or whatever, you know, or cigarette. It could be whatever. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay where I'm at with God, and I'm going to sit here and tell you all about God. You're not going to win anybody to Christ by sitting down and having a joint with them. Come on, get out of here. Who are you trying to kid? If we truly want to advance the kingdom of God, if we truly want to please God in everything that we do, we must remember that we are not alone and God is right there to help us. Now, if you're like me or now, I used to say, but I don't say it no more. I say, God, why aren't you here with, you promised me you'd be here with me in this battle. He says, I am. Just because you don't feel me, just because I'm not talking to you, does not mean I'm not here. I'm right here with you. In fact, I'm holding your hand and we're walking through this thing together. So you're walking, He has your hand. If you've given your heart to God, He has your hand. And wherever you go, He's walking there with you. In fact, you ought to really remember that whenever you do something really stupid, God's right there watching. Some of you don't want Him in your bedroom. Come on, because He's not going to approve of what you're doing. Yeah, I did say that. I say that all the time because it's the truth. Tonight, God is looking for some Calebs and Joshuas who will truly trust God even when the odds are against them. Remember when I ate the peanut? God said, who are you hiding from? He said, I'm right here with you. I see everything you're doing. So when you take your little pornography book and you go into a closet, hey, God went in there with you. He's sitting there too and saying, all right, how much are you going to look at? I hope that makes everybody in here uncomfortable because that is the truth. That is the truth. When you decide to be a peeping Tom and watch some woman or man undress, God's standing right there with you saying, I can't believe you're doing this and you're calling yourself my child. Come on. When you're sitting in church and you're sitting there lusting after somebody else in church and God's sitting right there, He's right in the church and He's saying, really now? And you're confessing to be my son or my daughter. Really? Come on. This is truth. This is truth. How many of you women, I'm going to say women because I'm a woman, right? How many are women who have ever been married and your husband said, well, let's go visit so-and-so tonight. So he takes you over to their house to visit the couple. Okay, so when I was younger, we used to play cards. Come to find out, my husband was playing footsies with the other man's wife under the table. And everybody's sitting at the table smiling at one another. Love you, baby. Get out of here. You don't love tiddly. Happens all the time, even today. I think it's more than playing footsies under the table now, though. Okay? Same thing. God's there. God's watching. God sees all things. Amen? You know how I broke that up? One night I said, that's my foot that you're playing with, not his. I mean, not hers. And I said, we're through playing cards and we're going to get our kids and we're going home. We're not coming back. Finally got the nerve to say that one night. Anyhow. I'd have lost my place. All right, well, tonight God is looking for some Calebs and Joshuas who will truly trust God even when the odds are against them. Now, question, who will put their, this is what God wants. He wants people who will put their complete trust in God, will be faithful to the end, will stand up for the truth, and will not run away from the truth. This is, you know, this is what God's looking for, Joshuas and Calebs. It is interesting to note that everyone who left Egypt died in the wilderness except Caleb and Joshua who believed God. You might be the only one in here tonight that believes God. Everybody, all the rest of you, you're going to die and I'm going to live. I'll put Mises in there. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Come on. If God would just rapture you and come down, send the angel down there to kill everybody in here, everybody didn't believe would be killed and only the one person that believed would be standing. It could be one of you all that would be standing, just not me. It's interesting to note, I said that, maybe you have had some conflicting reports and you are not sure what to believe. Why not believe God? Maybe someone told you that God does not love you. But in the Bible it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you. So whose report will you believe? Maybe someone told you that you are a nobody and you will not amount to anything. But God in his word tells you that in 2 Peter 3:9, he is not willing for anyone to perish. And in Zechariah 2:8, he says, you are the apple of my eye. And Isaiah 49:16, I have you engraved on the palms of my hands. Whose report will you believe? If they say that you're nobody, that God doesn't love you, we read these scriptures, whose report are you going to believe? God's word is true. The other person is not true, but God's word is. If you want to continue in the footsteps of Caleb and Joshua tonight, by truly believing God, then you can come up and ask God for that needed strength. That's the altar call, but let me say something else here. God is truly looking for Calebs and Joshuas. I don't care in what stage you are in your walk with God. If you really have taken Jesus Christ into your heart, then you are one of God's children. And you might be battling, your thought life might be driving you to insanity. But if you really want to follow God, if you really want to be a Joshua and a Caleb, God wants to strengthen you so that you can go and fight these battles that you're fighting. And he wants to bring you forth as a Joshua and a Caleb. God's looking for warriors. Well, look at this. You were all big, bad, and indifferent for the devil, weren't you? They gave a call and you jumped up and ran. But God is saying, where's my Joshuas? Where's my Calebs?